Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I'm Boyd Hilton. I'm joined by Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
I've done a little twist this week.
I like that.
We haven't had an introduction as glorious, superb, wonderful, incredible.
No. I think you're playing up.
Heap on the praise. Come on.
And Stephanie Seelan's that second voice you just heard there.
So we're just ordinary, are we?
No, you're absolutely outstanding.
Aye. Sensational.
Sensational colleagues. Today, we've got a special episode of the podcast in which we're only reviewing shows with one-word titles. Oh. Poldark, Flowers, and Goliath. Be those three
That's
shows
a great
in the meat.
I do like a
single-worded meat this week. Poldark Series 4, I know we're all huge fans of that show. And can't wait for its return. We're absolutely thrilled and delighted that I insisted on reviewing it because it's one of the major shows in the history of recent television. Flowers, Series 2. I don't know if either of you watched Series 1.
Nope.
Stripped across the week on Channel 4. That's how much Channel 4 thinks of it. Mm. All six parts in one go. A TV event. Mm. And Goliath, starring Oscar-winning Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm. Bless his heart.
On the Amazon Prime. All of it.
I can't believe he's won an Oscar.
Can't he?
No.
What did he win his Oscar for?
I can't remember.
Monsters Ball.
Could be.
Let's say that.
Let's say that.
It's not Monsters Ball. Is that the one with Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Is it called Monsters Ball?
Probably.
So either that or Monsters Inc.
It's definitely not Monsters Inc. Is it Monsters? Do you know what? I feel like John Dan's going to check up on that for us.
Yeah, I think he is. I think our guru, producer, editor, technical whiz kid.
Long-term friend.
Oh, that's technical whiz kid is an excellent new phrase for him.
I think he's going to find out. But before all of that, before the single-worded shows that we're reviewing in the meaty section of the podcast, let's find out from Stephanie Seelan what else she has been engaging with this week.
Why, thank you, Boyd Hilton. Hey, Boyd, wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it just be the worst thing ever if you were at home and you got murdered?
I mean, it'd be pretty terrible.
It would be awful.
Although it's weird.
Even if you're out and about and you got murdered,
would he
be
watching
bad.
TV?
If you're at home, there's something worse about being murdered at home.
Would Boyd be watching TV when he was murdered? Because I think that's the way you'd like to go.
Would you say the way he loves like best?
I think in my sleep, really, would be the way I like to
I
go.
I think that would be the best way.
Yeah.
Surrounded by friends
the
and family.
The TV could be on in the background. Factual update from John Dan.
Oh, hold on. Factual update. The lesser known Sling Blade.
Sling Blade.
He won for best adapted screenplay. What do you mean? Yes.
Thank
what
you.
Is that? Oh, yes, film. Everyone knows.
Yeah, it was a good indie film, yeah.
About what?
About a sling and a blade.
I think we should stick with Monsters Inc. Sounds better.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that factual update.
Back to your
murder. It would be bad if I got murdered at home.
Okay. Now, it would be. Because it's worse being murdered at home, I think. I mean, it's awful being murdered, but if when it's in your own home, there's just something worse about it. This long-winded explanation is the doorstep murder. 13 years ago.
Not even in your house.
We're making light of this, but somebody did actually get murdered on their doorstep. Poor man called Alastair Wilson, right? He is a Scottish fellow, and for 13 years this has gone unsolved. Kay wants to laugh, but she can't. Step away from the mic.
She's always laughing at murder, to be fair to her.
As I said, after a period of time it's hilarious. This is not after... After like... 35 years, murder
comedy
can be funny.
Comedy is tragedy plus time, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a great
equation.
Yeah.
Anyway, poor Alistair Wilson. This has gone unsolved. Basically, right? They were putting the kids to bed. He came downstairs. He's a banker in Scotland. His wife came downstairs. Someone asked for him at the door. She runs upstairs and goes, oh, someone's at the door for you. He comes down and he gets shot to death.
On the doorstep?
On his very doorstep in Scotland.
Wow. What was the reasoning?
Kay. We don't know.
It's unsolved.
And it's,
It's unsolved.
Yeah, it's
well, I didn't know that. How
unsolved murder.
Know?
She said it.
And rarely we find out why
people murder. This is a rare example
them.
Of me listening to you more closely than Kay.
Ah, yeah.
Actually,
every week
other tables have turned.
Every week I get accused of not listening properly.
I know. Yeah. So what was the man's
name? She's on the other foot
now.
What was
the man's name who got murdered? Let's retest
you. The name? I can't remember the name.
Alistair Stair something.
I can't remember anyone's name a minute after I meet them.
Alistair Stair.
Oh, no, it's because you said Alistair
Stair.
No, I tell you what. No, I tell you
what. I mean, that would be really, really crazy.
Alistair Doorstep.
Yeah. I tell you why awful. I said that. It's because it's why I started chuckling. It's because when you said Alistair, you went Alistair. So then I just had that in my head. Sorry, Alistair.
Okay, but his surname is not Stair. It's Wilson. I just want to say we do not find any of this funny because it's awful.
No, it's
a terrible
funny.
Tragedy. Okay, so yeah, he was murdered on his doorstep. In a really weird twist, okay. 13 years later, somebody that when this case was being discussed on a radio show, somebody phoned in and said, I know why this guy was murdered. Okay. But the most important thing you need to know is this is now a podcast. BBC Radio Scotland with Fiona Walker, who is investigating the case again. Wow. Right? It's fascinating. It's called the Doorstep Murder. And it, one of the crucial bits of information is his wife was given this blue envelope which had a name on it. I don't want to give too much away because it's a really interesting case.
Is the colour significant?
We don't know. We think it might be.
There's a lot of unanswered questions here. Well,
is it a gangland murder? We don't know. Was he? Okay, this is not funny. Stop it.
Sorry.
There's a lot going on here, and it's, as I said, Kay, unsolved. So we don't know the answers.
Is it an ongoing podcast, or has it all been done?
There's eight. I mean? It started on the 24th of May.
Right.
John Dan texted me about it yesterday. I had started listening to it because I read an article on BBC about it already. So
it's on the true crime vine.
Yeah, it is true. It's on the true crime vine. There's eight episodes up already.
Oh, they're like only 20. Eight.
Yeah, there's only 24 minutes long. You can ask me one question.
Quite often when we're reviewing stuff, and you're dissatisfied with the unsatisfied with the ending, it's because things haven't been resolved.
Yeah.
So why do you like unsolved crime so much?
This is a big question. Mm. I like this one.
I mean, nutshell it.
Because the reason, what they've said about this one is the reason they're doing this is because they want to try and get some new information. So I like unsolved crime if something's been reopened.
A reopened wound.
Do you know what I mean?
Listeners, I just have to say that Steph did a little mime there of reopening, which is brilliant. Like, a hand kind of going out. In case we didn't know what a reopening was.
You know when they reopen a crime and they're saying, oh, right, okay, I can't say reopen without doing the hand thing.
No, I know.
When they reopened it and they're asking for new information, that's when it becomes exciting to me because I feel like I could solve the crime and I think we should get on it.
All right.
Is what I'm saying.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So that's really good. Wherever you get all your good podcasts.
What's the podcast called again?
Oh, it's called The Doorstep Murder.
Taking the piss. He's mentioned it 30 times.
Christ. Anyway, so that's really great.
You have to top and tail it with a reminder.
Now, a bit of a rando. Okay, I had never seen the film City of God. I knew you were going to do that scoff. Have you seen it, Kay?
No, I haven't.
Right, well, Kay would really like it because it takes place in Rio de Janeiro, and I know that she likes Rio de Janeiro.
Big fan.
Yeah. So this is a 2003...
Is it by any chance on Netflix?
It's on Netflix, okay? And I'd never seen it, and I thought, this looks fun. It wasn't fun, but... So it's about a Rio de Janeiro slum and a young guy called...
I'm out.
Anti-slum.
Yeah, why are you so anti-slum? Well,
you shy away from the reality
like
of the world.
Flavellas.
I'm not. It's just you made it sound like it was going to be really fun, and you're like, it sounds
quite
bleak.
No, I said it. I literally said, it's not fun.
am I going to start listening?
I actually said those words. I said, it sounds fun, it's not fun, okay? Right.
Pleasure.
Look at me in the eyes, okay, while I speak to you about this film. It's about, so it's told through, it's narrated for this young guy called Rocket, who's a budding photographer, and he's kind of taking you through the lives of these, Boyd.
Sorry.
I know this is an old film, but Kay hasn't seen it, some other people
it's
haven't
new
seen
to me.
It. Taking through the lives of these young people brought up in the slum and the drug trade, and it's absolutely brilliant. And so lots of people thought when it came out in 2003. But I'm just saying, if you haven't, but it's really good. So, and if I hadn't seen it, then other people haven't seen it.
It's what I like to call an oldie but goodie.
It's an oldie but goodie. And okay, again, I'm bringing up another oldie but goodie, but I do think it's worth mentioning. Right,
Bergerac.
I started watching Asian Provocateur season 2, which
fantastic.
Know, but I hadn't watched season 2, and it's so brilliant. It's the one where he goes to, I know Kay's a huge fan, Ramesh Ranganathan. The season 2 is where he takes his mum to the USA. Now, again, it is now on Netflix, which is why I started watching it again. It's so hilariously funny. And the last thing that
I've said it before, it's such a shame this bug isn't sponsored by Netflix.
Watch a lot of Netflix.
Out and start giving us some cash.
The last thing I want to talk about, because we said we were going to mention it last week and we haven't talked about it, is Solo, A Star Wars Story. Can we just briefly talk about that?
I mean, yeah, it has been out now for like 3 weeks or something. But yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Because now it's classified as an oldie but goodie.
It's almost as old as City of God.
You two are really taking the pee today. Oh, yeah. You really are. But that means that people have seen it, so it doesn't matter about spoilers.
No, sure. Okay. I mean, the only people who are going to see it have seen it because it's considered to be a flop because it's only earned, I mean, this is what happens in this day and age. It's only earned like hundreds of millions of pounds, dollars. And it's only really considered a flop in the Star Wars universe because it hasn't done as well as all the others.
How much did Rogue One do?
Better than that.
I mean, well, I assumed it would be better than that.
I think Rogue One, off the top of my head, it's like 150 million. It was like much better than that.
Mm.
Yeah, Rogue One did well. has not done well. Is it a case of Star Wars fatigue there too? Because this is, you know, effectively there have been two Star Wars films in the last 6 months. Yeah, because normally they come out around Christmas, December. This one is out now in the spring.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it for what it was, but I didn't think it was particularly like a crucial element in the Star Wars story.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
Did you think, though, it seems like it could have been like a 6-part like series on, do you know what I mean? It didn't seem like a film to me. Does that make sense? It just it wasn't
it felt like a film to me.
Did
I
it?
I disagree with that.
I didn't think it was very good.
No. Okay.
I didn't really like it. No. John Dan, can you, by the power of thumbs up, thumbs down, tell me if you liked it? Or the middle thumb? Ooh. Oh, he did the middle thumb. He went on
up.
The fence.
It's a little bit up. It's a little God, up. You've managed to twist your thumb.
I had the privilege of sitting next to John Dan at the screening.
Yeah. I know you did. And do you know why? I know you did. Because Pogs.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay, brief story. Pogs.
Set the scene.
I look like a right twat, okay, because I was in the cinema. Screaming Boyd's name as he was walking up the stairs. I had great snacks, and even though Boyd's had the diverticulitis and wasn't allowed to eat them, I still had them, okay? And I was screaming, Boyd, Boyd,
oh
B,
my God, it's like a partridge moment.
It was so embarrassing. And everyone around me was like, you don't know Boyd. That Liam, husband Liam, was like, sit down. This is so embarrassing. Stop it. He hasn't heard you. Sit down. And then I saw Boyd walk over, and apparently he found his real friend, John Dan, to sit next to.
What you should have done, which is what John did, he came over and sat next to me and said,
physically assaulted
engaged,
you.
Engaged in
I couldn't
in discussion
because
rather than...
I was next to some tutty people. When I even got, I was only 4 seats away from the edge of the aisle, and they were going...
Do you know what I think this comes back to? Boyd's listening skills.
It does. Anyway, to sum up Solo,
I enjoyed it. I think it's fine. It's not. It's not.
It's
not
a must watch though in the cinema, is it?
Like 3.5 stars, 3.5 to 4. I thought I enjoyed it. It's a good film in its own right. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. I enjoyed the two. I mean, I'm not desperate to see it again, which is, you know, the measure. But I'll happily sit through it.
I didn't think it was that good. Okay, that's it, guys. That's it. That's all you're getting out of me.
Kay's been waiting on tenterhooks after that little anecdote about the cinema to reveal.
I mean, to be fair, that's the third time I've heard it, but it gets better with time.
Well, it warrants retelling. I might say it again at the end
Kay,
of the podcast.
With what have you engaged this week?
Oh, okay. There's only one new thing I want to tell you about.
Oh.
And I am absolutely...
Example to us all.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely...
Self-editing.
Obsessed with it. And I urge you, if you haven't watched it,
I know what is it? Say. I know what she's going to say.
Love in the Countryside. BBC Two, presented by Sarah Cox. Don't pull that face. Go on.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Sorry. Love
in the Countryside.
In the
it's
Countryside.
On what we call television.
The BBC.
BBC Two.
You two are being right arseholes to me today.
You've been very sweary. You have to put the old...
Well,
explicit
warranted it.
Sarah Cox is a presenter, and basically it's 8 rural people, so they're like a combination of farmers, rural vets, farriers, all these kind of things, looking for love.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Farriers.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? It sounded funny. You know, farriers. I would like it to be called Farriers Looking for Love.
All these rural folk, singletons, looking for love. They've got different stories, male and women, old and young, straight and gay, and they've all got background stories. So some of them been divorced, some of them... have been single for like 6-7 years, and they're all obviously, because they all run farms or, you know, have animal commitments, they find it harder to find love, because, you know, if you're on the farm all the time, getting up early at 5 o'clock,
animal commitments are really
you know that more than anyone, Steph.
Farrying.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Those shoes aren't gonna make themselves.
No.
Anyway, so what happens is, old school style, they have letters written to them by other single people who want to go on dates with them, right?
What's funny about that?
Okay, I was half laughing at that, and I was half laughing because I seem to think farriers was something to do with pigeons. And it's not, is it?
No, it's people who make horseshoes.
I thought those were blacksmiths.
Well, also.
They
look after
hung
horses.
Up on the farrier.
Get bogged down.
Issue.
Okay, right.
Love
anyway,
the
letters are written.
Right, so it's very like, you know, obviously modern day dating, you know, a lot
Tinder.
Of it involves swiping, exactly. Mm. So this is kind of old school, which is what I love about it, obviously with televisions involved.
Do these
people
not have smartphones? Is that what it
is? They do. People in the countryside do have smartphones. But anyway, they get written to. And so they're in a country house and they receive their boxes of letters. In some case, just handfuls. But some are like a couple. It's so sweet, right? And they get these letters and they go through them and they decide who they want to meet out of all of them. You can choose how many you meet.
Do they have to send pictures with it?
They can send pictures. Some of them send like drawing. You know, like it's really
illustrations of themselves.
It's really romantic.
It's lovely.
And then the selected people come to the country house and they get some one-to-one time just to see if, you know, what they think. And then the farmers choose which of them they want to then come and visit them on the farm throughout the 6 episodes. Oh. And then they hang out together. And then depending on if they like them, they then go on another date, one-to-one time, and they go and visit the other people. You know,
but the other people that are writing them letters, they don't necessarily have to be farm folk. They can be from anywhere.
They're like usually urbanites who are like looking for a change.
Looking for a farrier. Yeah.
Honestly, it is so sweet, like heartwarming. It's kind of cringy in places. Plus, let me tell you about some of them, my favourites. Okay, so there's Ed 25, who's absolutely gorgeous, a dairy farmer from Lancashire. And Steph, if you saw him, you'd be like, why the hell are you single?
Really? Yeah. Well, he's in remote, that's why.
No, he's
he's remote.
Well, yeah.
He's super cute. And then there's, Peter 52, he's got a bit of a twinkle in his eye. I kind of like fancy him.
You should write him a letter.
I know.
I'll do a drawing of you later.
But he lives in Yorkshire, is the only thing.
Mm. That's okay. Yeah. Yorkshire's nice.
Are there any actual farriers?
Yeah, there is.
Who's the farrier?
Who's the farrier?
Oh, God, I haven't got his name written down.
Fred the farrier?
Let's call him Fred.
Can I just say, a farrier is a specialist in equine hoof care. Including the trimming and balancing of horses' hooves and the placing of shoes on their hooves. If necessary.
And nothing to do with pigeons. What are pigeons?
This podcast Harriers. Educational.
Harriers. Is it Harriers? What are the pigeons?
Harrier
jump jet. You're thinking carrier pigeons.
Don't. And anyway, as long as we establish what the farriers
this
do.
This is not Pigeon Street. Right. And also there's like a woman called Christine who's 32 and she's a cattle and sheep farmer from Dumfries and Galloway. And for example, she's like really, she's been single for 6-7 years and you can tell she's like, hasn't got a lot of confidence. And so you go on these journeys with them, you get very invested in their relationships. I've watched 4 out of 6 episodes. Every morning I'm watching one on the way to work and I absolutely love it.
Well, let me just say, she's
it.
Also watching them at work as well. I did catch her the other day.
During my lunch hour.
She had a little smartphone out and she had the headphones on and I was like, what the F are you doing? She's watching an episode of Love in the Countryside.
It's so good. Can I just ask something? So, do you follow them along the episodes or do you get one episode with one couple and you see it through its entirety?
What's good is they mix it up so that, because if you watch one in one episode, you might get a bit bored of it if you're not very invested in that couple. But so generally per episode, they maybe focus on 2 couples and it goes across 6 episodes. So I'm hoping episode 6 is going to be a flash forward. So they've revisited them.
Right. So what does Sarah Cox have to do with all of this?
So she goes and visits them and she narrates and like she's also a daughter of a farmer.
She's the enabler of the.
Yeah, I know. But you know when it like something's so remote, like you can't. I'm just wondering where she's staying and how she's. Go and do you know what I mean? Like she's not. It's not a Love Island where she's popping in. They're popping into the villa. It's like
she goes
trekking down
them.
To the farm and you know.
You know they do now have shelter in the countryside.
They have shelter. They have.
I've heard a rumor, but. I don't believe
really
it myself.
I think part of this idea of the series is that it educates town folk like you into
the
ways
countryside.
Of the rural.
So
what, in Watford or something?
I live in Bedfordshire. And there's a beautiful countryside.
I'm not sure if that counts.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, yes.
To be fair, it is
the show that everyone's talking about.
I can't recommend it highly enough. If there's one new show you try out, and it started
what channel?
A few weeks ago, BBC Two. It's all on iPlayer.
Okay.
Just 6 episodes, and honest, Steph, you're gonna love it.
I'm gonna watch them all tonight.
Yeah, watch it. The only other thing I wanted to tell you about is.
I mean, you only said one thing, so.
So yeah,
one thing. If you used your ears,
okay.
One new thing.
Right.
I think one thing. I think we're gonna have to cut her off.
Okay, fine.
No. What's the other thing?
No. I mean, you
can.
No. You know,
we're very sorry,
Kate. If not stubborn.
Please do tell us about the other thing.
Okay, the split final episode.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, cool.
Please don't tell me.
I'm done.
Was it good?
I enjoyed it. There is some flaws to it, but I enjoyed it. A lot of people on Twitter, mixed reviews,
yes.
To say the least, and it's been commissioned for a second series, so people need
this
to stop moaning.
This we reviewed the first episode, the
Abby Morgan
legal family drama,
but mainly about the world of divorce law and all that. Isn't
Nicola Walker, Stephen Mangan, yeah.
Crucially though, will I like the ending? Because I'm on 4 and I haven't. They've got too much to go.
I'm gonna.
Can you read?
Is this
Steph's
a,
mind on
is
this
an Elias Grace situation? And let's just remind you that I de-recommended Elias Grace from Netflix.
I think you'll have problems with it, but I'm
not going to watch it then.
Well, they have recommissioned that, haven't they? As well.
Yeah, it's been recommissioned. Yeah. And the only other thing to say
is... Not everyone dies. Go on.
We're recording this on Friday, and tomorrow I am going to the Soap Awards, which I'm excited about.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So when people hear this on Tuesday, they will hear you saying that you were going to the Soap Awards.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Retrospective.
How were they?
They were good.
Were you pleased with all the winners?
I was thrilled. No, but it's live for the first time. And yes, as we know, soap stars do like to get well lubricated. So
it's a big weekend.
Soap stars like to get lubricated. That's what I thought she said.
Well, apparently so. Also on Sunday, that's on Saturday night on ITV. This has all have been happened. So I don't even know why I'm going on about this. BGT final on Sunday. That will have happened 2 days ago as well.
Now, did everyone
that's
see
exciting.
Lee? Oh, okay, yeah. At Lost Voice guy that I recommended to you.
Yeah, brilliant. He may have won. Apologies for speculating on something that now listeners already know about.
Okay.
Have you concluded your selection of things you've engaged with this week, Kay?
Yeah, watch Love in the Countryside.
Also watch, I'm going to mention, I mentioned it before it came out. Now it's actually on the Netflix. Steve Martin and Martin Short, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
I watched that as well. Do you know why I didn't mention it? Because I knew you'd mention it. It's very good.
Also, it would have been like 5,000 things on Netflix that you'd have watched.
No, excuse me. Just
let's not fight.
Two.
Come on.
It's an absolute joy, isn't
it?
It's these two legends of show business, making fun of each other, telling stories, looking at some of it's just literally them looking at pictures of themselves from when they were younger and telling the stories of that.
Do you know what I really loved about it?
What did you really love about it, Steph?
Like, I felt like it was like an innocent type of... really hilarious, but also it wasn't... Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying, really. It's like not... It wasn't
back to the
nasty.
Days where it was... Yeah,
yeah.
Not cynical.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
An uncynical celebration of two showbiz legends.
Yeah,
yes.
Perfect description.
Yeah. No, they're absolutely brilliant. That's on the Netflix now. I'm up to episode 5 of The Bridge out of 8. And it's going brilliantly
don't,
well.
Because I'm on episode... Yeah. I'm going to be on episode 4, and he was watching it at his desk. He kept on turning his screen away from me, saying, don't watch it.
A lot
it.
Happens in episode 4.
That sounded like you were actually going to be on the episode. I'm going to be on episode 4.
Yeah. Episode 4 will have gone out on the Friday when we're coming out on Tuesday. So that people have seen that, and that's an extremely action-packed episode. And then 5 is also very interesting and key. It's brilliant.
Can I just say, I am going to get around to watching The Bridge. I haven't yet, but
the storytelling is incredible. That's the thing, the way the story is
told. He's the king of Scandi Noir.
He is the king of Scandi Noir, the guy who writes it with the woman.
Hans Rosenfeld.
Well done. And finally, I'm going to mention a film, Le Mont Double.
Le Mont Double.
Our resident Frenchie, did he say that right?
Thumbs
up from John Dan.
François,
what does it mean?
François Ozon. It means
the double...
Double lovers? Doubles? What? Anyway, this is a film that's coming out. It's out in cinemas now, but it's also on the Curzon home video system.
Have
I mentioned this before?
If you remember, we had a lengthy 25-minute conversation where I couldn't quite get to grips with what this meant.
Listen... Right, we can't go through that again.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not going through it again.
Just a brief explanation. So, Boyd, you can watch it in your house at the same time.
Yep.
It is on limited release at Curzon Cinemas.
Yep.
If you get the Curzon Cinema app. But it costs the same as what you would have to pay to go to the cinema to watch it.
Yes. I mean, I'm just saying yes as if I... Yeah. But it costs like, I don't know, 8-9 quid or something to watch it at home, and probably costs about... Anyway, the point is you can watch it either on cinemas or in the comfort of your own home if you've got the Curzon Home Cinema app. I absolutely love this film. A lot of people have slagged it off.
What's it about?
It's about... now, here's the thing. It's about Maureen Vath plays this young woman who is having abdominal pain. So this is maybe why I identify with
you're relating
to
her. Oh my God, I've heard about this. There's a vagina scene which is really, really outrageous. He goes into the vagina...
Well,
spoiler alert. He goes into the vagina.
Spoiler alert. Anyway, so she goes to see her therapist because she thinks there's no physical explanation for him. She thinks it's psychosomatic. Yep. And Jeremy Renier plays her therapist. They start having a relationship, and then it turns out he's got a twin. And I'm not going to say any more than that because it's all about the perverse. It's like a perverse thriller. So I don't know if you've seen the film Dead Ringers, the brilliant David Cronenberg film, which starred posh actor Jeremy Irons as twins, twin people who were engaged in various perverse activity.
Yeah.
Twin men. It's kind of like, imagine Dead Ringers, which is a legendary film, with a bit of Basic Instinct. It's very tawdry.
Can I
and in quotes, erotic, steady people. And it has, as you've already mentioned, that kind of
but
scene.
The one thing that, this is not a spoiler because it's been talked about loads and loads. The major thing is they think it's the first time that it's ever been shown on screen that there is an intimate act performed while a lady is having Aunt Flo visit. And that is the tamest way that I can say
God. It. Oh,
God. Steph knows all about this film. So it's daring, it's edgy, it's really over the top.
It's bloody. Mm.
It's quite tacky in a way, but... If you like that kind of ludicrous film,
I'm out.
Yeah, sex thriller.
No, bit of Hitchcock. Watch this.
Bit of Hitchcock. Bit of Basic Instinct. Bit of Dead Ringers. French twins. Mm. Bizarreness. This is
French
the film for you.
French twins. I'm into.
There's a lot of cinematic first in this. I think it should be watched by people.
Oh yeah, definitely. But warning, not for everyone. Kay, for example, already like feels sick and appalled by the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I've said intimate act and aunt.
But yeah, you start listening to the podcast I recommended, the brilliant Julia Davis podcast.
Joan and Jerrica.
Joan and Jerrica, which is extraordinarily rude. One of the rudest things ever committed to audio. Yeah. So you can cope with that. So that's fine. So imagine some of the things they talk about on that podcast.
I don't know. I feel like listening is different seeing.
From seeing, yeah. Anyway, I loved it. Le Monde Double.
I'm going to watch it.
Curzon Home Cinema.
I'm going to get that.
Don't even have to illegally download it.
No.
You can illegally
watch
it. I would
never do that, but I'm going to get the home cinema up and pay £8 to £9.
Yeah, that's out now. And that concludes what I've been engaging with this week. And I think what we've all been engaging with this week. That is part one of the podcast. Now part two of the podcast, which is officially on the menu, you may have noticed this week.
Yes, I'm happy about that. It's the tweets before the meat.
Oh, sorry, I meant to do that with you.
Yeah, you were looking at your phone, Steph, and you get punished for that. So
what happens to me?
Well, you have to spend 2 minutes being
silent.
You're
going to remove Netflix from you for a week.
Yeah.
That is, don't joke about that.
Would you rather be silent for 2 minutes or lose Netflix?
Silent for 2 minutes.
See, I knew that. Mm. All right. Right, onwards. So we've had a message from at Claire Glitter who says, another great pod, can I suggest Liverpool for when the pod goes on tour?
Oh. Yes, you can. And yes, we will.
Great idea. John shaking his head. Come on, John. At some point, you've got to get him bored
with
this
tour.
So
far, we've got... Okay, we're going to New Zealand to stay on our friend's sofa.
Yeah.
Boyd's bringing the camp bed. We've got Liverpool.
Yeah.
The Cafe Nero.
Yeah.
And...
In Camden.
And where else are we going? Is that it?
That's it. Oh, well, we're also trying to go on that Tin Star
Canada.
Tour. Yeah.
So, Canada.
Calgary.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And she also said, can we have some pod merchandise, pretty please? Listen, if you want, we shall provide.
If you want merch, right? We are going to get
some
merch.
Now, I am taking up pottery classes again, so
okay, if you can mass produce some Unmissables
It's not about mass producing, no.
Or even not mass.
Bespoke.
Even especially bespoke produce. Yeah,
I'll do some little, maybe some little buttons. Or something.
Pottery buttons.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, they have no function other than just say pog on it. But
merch is merch.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look into it. I'll see. Also, actually, what happened to our super pog who's going to design us something?
Don't, because she might have not done as well as she did in her A-levels and just be not wanting to do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we don't know what's going on. Get in touch.
Listen, we're here to support you, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And then we've got one from Andrew Carrington at Andy Mank. Oh, maybe it's from Manchester.
Oh, new destination.
Just watched the last ever episode of The Middle. Gonna miss The Hex. I love them from episode one. I've never watched The Middle.
Oh, The Middle, yeah,
it's really
fun.
Good.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
fun.
It's great.
It's
really old, isn't it?
No,
it's got... for a while.
What's her name from... what is her name? What's the name of the actress in it? Oh, God, it's so annoying.
John, now you've set John down off.
All right, well, I'll just move on.
We're both looking it up.
I'll move on to the next one.
The Middle
which
is a good show, though. It's like a kind of working class version of Modern Family.
It's really going to annoy me. Yeah. She's from Ray Romano's show. Something about Raymond.
Patricia Heaton,
thank the Lord.
Pat Heaton. And then also, we got alerted to the fact that Netflix's The Staircase is going to be shown at BAFTA, where going to be a talk with the director. Now, I'm not even going to try. Boyd, you're very good at like foreign names recently.
Was that from Mira Jade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jean-Javier de Lestrade, which is the most French name in the history of French names. Jean-Javier de Lestrade.
It's wonderful.
Like a villain from Sherlock, which as we know is the thing I'm most obsessed with
you
in the
are.
World.
So maybe every,
all of my
trip.
Things
Stop
are about Sherlock.
It. What? How far are you into The Staircase?
Oh, about 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Where are you? Have you finished it?
I'm on number 6.
Mm-hmm. I'm only on 2.
Okay. We should go to that BAFTA thing.
Yeah. And also to Liverpool. And Manchester.
Yeah.
And Canada. And New Zealand to get your passport.
And then start making the pottery.
Oh, yeah, the badges.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. That's it for me.
Thank you very much for the tweet.
Before
updates.
The meet. See, I did it afterwards.
No, this is not a new thing, Steph. You missed your opportunity.
Sorry. I'll be back on for question time.
Now then, it is time for the meet, finally. This could be one of our record-breaking delays before the meet, couldn't it?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, we've been in here for several hours now.
Yeah. Poldark, Series 4. Now, I know for a fact that Steph and Kate are almost as big Poldark fans as me, but I think I'm the biggest, so
Look, we wouldn't take that away from you.
You're what we like to call a Poldark.
You are a Poldark.
It's almost second only to Sherlock, isn't it, in my obsession with Poldark.
Anything that ends in a Urk or an Ork, you are right on it.
Tenuous. Anyway, this is Series 4 of what has been one of the most successful and enjoyable period dramas of recent years. Aidan Turner is back. You may have seen, by the way, I meant to discuss this with you first thing this morning, because Stephanie, not many people know this, but Stephanie Seeland's actual professional job is partly dealing with pictures and photos.
Mm. I'm half a picture director.
Yeah. Multi-skilled. To cut a long story short, I interviewed Aidan Turner.
Don't scrimp for the details.
Interviewed Aidan Turner, which is in the Heat interview, which is out today now, same day as this podcast. And in it, we asked him about, you know, the fact that he's famously... In Series 1, the shot of him scything topless became the iconic shot of the whole series.
Yeah, of course.
We actually recreate it, sorry to interrupt, for our Stars Dress Up.
With?
And we got Spencer Matthews.
Spencer Matthews to recreate it. Became an iconic thing. Mm. It became so famous and such a kind of thing that poor Aidan had to talk about every single time he's interviewed by anyone. That became a bit of a rod for his own back.
Yeah.
And, you know, got to the point where it was, you know, became an issue.
Didn't he refuse to talk about it for a while and was just a bit like, I don't want to be objectified?
I don't think he ever refused. I hosted a few Q&As, you know, where they launched the show. And he invariably got asked, you know, are you going to be topless? And be like, oh, you know. He never refused. Mm. He's a nice guy. But anyway, we did ask him, before I'd seen any of this new series, I interviewed him, that wasn't ready yet to see. And we asked him about, you know, is it keeping fit and all that? And he's like, well, I don't really need to anymore because I'm not naked in the show anymore. And it's almost like, I don't think he's deliberately doing it because he does forget, because then four series in and then was about to film the fifth. Doesn't remember what scenes are in which series, genuinely. But as luck would have it, the opening scene of Poldark Series 4 is him emerging from the sea topless.
He looks
fully hunky.
So fit.
So fit, there you go.
Oh my God, do you know what? I almost said to you, right, I started watching Poldark, and as you'll find out, I don't watch Poldark. I started watching it, got to that scene, I thought, I've seen enough. This is fantastic.
That was within 30 seconds.
Because he looks, coming out of the water, he is gorgeous.
But have you seen, so that is on the front page of all the papers today, Friday's recording this. So the BBC has put that picture out, which we didn't even know. Kay and I were discussing it with our colleague from Closer. We didn't know whether they allow that picture. Then now it's back to using him topless as being the main selling point of the show. So all over again, you know, he's going to be asked about every single bloody time he gets interviewed.
Is this the final series?
I think it's a whole fascinating... No, there's one.
Well, then he needs to, like, eat loads of cake and get unfit if he doesn't want people to look at his body.
But it's interesting, isn't it? This dichotomy, I'm using the word dichotomy, between, you know, him finding it slightly annoying that everyone reduces the show to him topless, essentially. A lot of people do that. And B, the BBC blatantly, and I've banged the table.
Yeah, because the thing is,
picture team,
ultimately,
using that to sell the show.
Ultimately, the BBC want people to watch the show, right? Give the audience what they want. They want that. So irrespective of whether he wants to do it or not, I mean, he's...
Well, you had to give approval.
Boyd. Of course, Boyd. But he knows also that, you know, that is part of his job.
I'm sorry. There is nothing in me that thinks, oh no, poor Aidan Turner, you're just too fit. Oh, you're too hot. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, just stop being looking.
Women have been doing this for years and years.
Pipe down, Turner.
Well, that's the other issue.
You're really hot. Accept it.
That's the other issue. I mean, I haven't even got onto the actual episode yet, but that's the other big issue, is they had a phone in this morning on Five Live all about, is it okay the fact that, you know, this is being used to sell the show, us lusting after Aidan Turner's body.
Yes, it's fine.
Women, you know, objectifying him effectively.
Women have been objectified for centuries. Now it's his turn, you know, deal with it.
Fine, I'm good, we covered that. Anyway, this is the opening episode of the Series 4. He does emerge from the sea in what is, spoiler alert, a little bit of a dream fantasy sequence. And then he's brought down to earth by the fact that his wife, Demelza, Eleanor Tomlinson, and their little kiddies are there with him on the beach. If you didn't see the end of the last series, Demelza got into a pretty, pretty sexy situation with a young man.
Listen, she is such a racy Tracy. I can't believe it.
So they're kind of grappling with that issue. And that character, Hugh, is back. And he, in fact, is set to rival the horrible George Warligan, who is the snotty, horrible,
he's
nasty.
He's horrible. He's a nasty bastard.
Nasty bastard, played by the great Jack Farthing. And there's going to be, it's going to move, there's a lot of this going to take place in the Houses of Parliament, where they're going to be rival MPs, and Hugh is set to rival George in the upcoming general election, which has just been called by Prime Minister Pitt. Meanwhile, poor Morwenna is still with the horrendous Osborne, played by the great Christian Bastion, that nasty, creepy, disgusting man who is now, who went for her sister. I mean, so she's now got
an excuse. Wait, is this the priesty one?
The priesty one, yeah. And there's a brilliant scene in this episode where, so she won't have anything to do with it now. She's got that excuse. She
fair enough.
Won't let him go near her because she.
Yeah, thank God.
He diddled her sister.
Yeah.
And he's rank.
And he's horrendous, brilliant, sweaty, horrible, grotesque.
He's
man.
The opposite of Turner.
He's the opposite of Aidan Turner. There's a brilliant scene where he's like watching her through the keyhole and literally rubbing his thigh, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. Then there's all kinds of rioting going on in Truro. There's a corn riot. And of course, Sam Khan and Drake Khan. Brothers of Demelza, sexy brothers, getting brought in the whole thing. And at one point, it looks like they're going to be hanged by the neck until dead. How they get out of that? Do they get out of it? Who knows?
We can't tell you.
We can't tell you. That's what happens roughly in episode one. Stephanie Seelan, what did you think, apart from the fact that Aidan Turner emerges semi-naked from the scene?
Okay, that is an amazing scene and that will make everyone happy. And I mean, good God, he is stunning. I really liked it. But I tell you the thing, it's right. So we did series 3 for a podcast.
Yeah,
and
Kay
really
controversially thought we shouldn't count it. Is there let's establish now, is it okay for us to go revisit a show on the podcast if we've already reviewed them previous series? I think it's fine.
I prefer to do new stuff. Okay. However, if the show is massive, like The Bridge or something like that, I don't know if Poldark's the same.
I think more people watch Poldark than The Bridge.
Oh, I wish you could see the face he's pulling at me. Okay. It's like a smug face.
But, right, what I was going to say is I really liked that episode, but I didn't carry on watching it and I didn't watch the previous ones. Again, I really liked this episode, but I'm definitely not going to carry on watching it and I'm not going to go back.
Is it because there isn't enough?
I'm not sure why.
Because there's not enough murder?
Okay, there's not enough murder. What I did quite like, though, right, I did quite enjoy the fact, there's a really weird conversation between Ross and Demelza where he says, is there enough in one woman's heart for two men? And she says, or indeed two women. Mm. And it's like, these two are just as bad as each other. So he's been diddling people. She's been having the rumpy-pumpy with that guy who looks a bit too young.
Hugh.
So, but I thought they really loved each other. How the hell do they keep staying together?
I mean, you say that about a lot of relationships.
Yeah, but it's life, isn't it? I think that's one of the great realistic things. That's why the original novels are so clever in a way, because it kind of, the way they deal with these relationships, it feels very modern and believable and realistic.
Look, it's gorgeous. It's very atmospheric. I really liked it. I don't find it gripping enough for me, but that's probably because I didn't watch it at the beginning. It's very enjoyable. And I think it's going to, if you're a Poldark fan, I can't see why on earth you wouldn't absolutely love this first episode of the fourth series. But am I going to continue on watching it? No, I'm not.
Kay.
Hello.
Are you going to carry on watching it?
No. I agree with everything that Steph has said. I mean, look, this is like the equivalent of a...
Don't call it nice.
It's a pair of slippers. It's a comfy pair of slippers on a Sunday. Great for lots of people I know. They love it. They love Aidan.
She's talking sheepskin.
Yes.
She's talking those slippers.
You know the slippers.
Yeah.
My equivalent of that, but I feel is superior, is the Durrells.
I knew she was going to bring up the Durrells.
Because, no, for that, you know...
That's the one where everyone's having a jolly up.
You've got the drama. You've got, like, the emotion. It's got a lot of heart to it. Plus, it's funny. And that's the element I like. Whereas this doesn't
have
that.
Oh, this isn't funny.
No, it's not funny at all. And also, you know what gets on my wick a little bit?
Wait a minute, hold on. The vicar, the dirty vicar rubbing his thighs, is looking through
for
the keyhole at his wife.
It wasn't
Come
enough.
On.
In an hour-long show, it's not enough. The thing that really got on my wick was... Oh, it's just Ross, his God complex. You know, his like whole, you know, trying to save everyone all the time. It's just it gets a bit irritating after a while for me. Because I just think, why don't you try and save your marriage properly and stop?
Let some people die. Don't worry about it.
Because
you know?
He's a flawed hero, because that's the whole point. Mm. Yeah, he is.
He's not my hero,
Boyd.
Do
you know what, Boyd? Defend it, defend it, defend it. Go on, tell us why we're both wrong.
Well,
or not, indeed.
Because it is, it's action-packed, it's full of incident, and I think they do a great job of making every single episode as kind of fast-moving in its way. I think, you know, I think to consider it cozy and all of that, and the nice pair of slippers is misleading, because I think it's tougher than that. It's kind of subtly political about, you know.
I really disagree about it being fast paced.
No, I think it is fast paced. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Have you watched every episode from the beginning?
Oh yeah.
Have
yeah,
you?
Of course. Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
I feel like the Antiques Roadshow has got a faster pace.
Ah, it's grotesquely unfair.
I mean, that is a little unfair. That,
no, it's massively
but
unfair.
The Antiques Roadshow is racy, let's just say.
It's a very clever, smart, modern version of this stuff. So even though it's a period drama, obviously, it's the way it's told, the way it's performed, the way it's filmed. It's just, it feels very up-to-date and modern.
It's definitely my favourite Cornish period drama. I'm not saying it's not. With Aidan Turner
topless.
And that Demelza lady. Yeah. It's 100% my favourite. It's in my top one of those. No, do you understand what I mean about, like, it's great.
But I think it's not your
ripping.
Kind of thing. Yeah, you do.
No,
it's
I don't know. Do you know what? Maybe if I watched it from the beginning, I would have thought
Kay's
it was fine.
Stadium intervention. She thinks
I'm giving it 3.5 stars.
Four and a half.
What are you giving it, Steph?
I mean, I'm going to go with you. I think it's a 3.5er.
Mm. Okay. Poldark, Series 4. You decide, as we often always say, often. Sometimes.
Often, always, sometimes.
Yeah, I'm deliberately being funny, okay? I'm aware of that.
And you're funnier than Poldark. Carry on.
Oh. She really got it in frame, Turner.
She really got it
in
frame.
No, I like sexy. That sexy bastard.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Poldark Series 4, BBC One, Sunday the 10th of June, 9 p.m. And now we move on to Flowers. Series 1 of this show started in 2000. Well, it was on in 2016. Started and finished in 2016. It was shown in 1 week. It was stripped across the week. It was what I call a quirky comedy drama created by a young man called Will Sharp, who also stars in it. Which of you two wants to face the challenge? Now, I watched Series 1. I've got a feeling neither of you did. Did either of you watch Series 1?
No.
No, I'm happy to read what it says here.
Okay. Please digest and tell us, in your own words, what happens, what Flowers is all about.
I will do it in my own words that are written on this paper. It's a couple of years after the end of Series 1, and how do you say that name?
Maurice.
Oh. Is it, or Morris? Maurice.
Morris.
Some people
Morris.
Call
it's
me
Morris.
Maurice.
Yeah. All right. Morris and Deborah are on a caravan holiday, and he's on his medication, but he seems like he's in a better place, and she's about to become a published author, having written a book about his depression. Shun is drinking away the summer, as he is wont to do, and Donald has started a plumbing business.
All right, you're just reading the thing. It's about a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
A very dysfunctional family. And if you'd have watched the first series, you'll know. It's Olivia Colman plays Deborah, the matriarch of the family. She's a kind of a nice, decent, well-meaning person. Her husband, Morris, who is a children's author, played by Julian Barrett, is troubled and depressive.
I mean, I think you're just repeating everything I've just said.
No,
anyway.
You were just reading out the plot line for Series 2. So I feel we have to establish
You go on.
Bigger picture of the show, because other people won't know what the hell you're talking about, okay? And Shun, played by Will Sharp, who created the whole thing, lives basically in the family shed. And in the first series, he's the illustrator of Morris's books. And their relationship was kind of weirdly close. You didn't quite know what was going on there. Then they've also got two grown-up adult twin children, offspring, Amy, played by Sophia DiMartino, and Donald, played by Dana Rigby, who hate each other and are weirdly competitive. Mm. He particularly was horrible. In Series 1, he was trying to invent preposterous things. He saw himself as an inventor, and they were preposterous. She didn't really know what to do with her life. She was just mainly frustrated and furious about him. And then there's kind of their whole land. They live in this big kind of mansion on a bit of kind of quite rural land.
Remote.
It's a real rural theme to
live in the countryside.
Almost as rural as Luton. It might even be in Luton or wherever you live.
Bedfordshire.
And so there's almost a community of random, creative, hippie-ish people living on their land. They're called the Flowers family. That's why it's called Flowers. That is the context. Kay.
As I said. Yeah.
I think she's going to say not for moi.
Yeah, is this going to be one of your in-depth reviews?
NFM for a start, not for moi. But I just think it's a bit too quirky and random for me and for my liking. I mean, so it's just not my cup of tea. But however, having said that, League of Gentlemen is quite quirky and random, and I have to say I like that more because it's crucially funny. And I didn't find this funny at all. Okay. I mean, I like the dynamic between the brothers and sisters, but it just...
The brother and sister.
Yeah, brother and sister. But other than that, I was like, no, just... Which is a shame, because actually, I would hope that Olivia Colman would be, like, she's excellent and I love her, but even she wasn't a big enough draw to make me want to watch the next episode. Sorry.
Two for two strikes. This is a double strike. I'm not sure we've had this before. It could be three strikes and we're out. Okay. And then we never come back.
Eek.
Steph, I get a sense as well that there's no murder in this at all.
I'm going to be a bit true crime or fictional. More generous to this. Okay. Right. Because I do like quirky things, but I feel like you have to kind of suspend your disbelief in a way whilst watching this, because it is so out there and there is so much random crap happening. But there is random stuff. I tell you what, right, as soon as I started watching it, I was like, you absolutely have to watch the first series, I think, to understand this, because why are they in a character? You know what I mean? I hadn't read up on it, so I didn't really understand any of it. I'm going to say something. Again, I have to say, I do agree with Kay. I think Olivia Colman, I love, and I was like, oh, this is great. And actually, I saw an advert for this and didn't realise it was this thing we were watching. I thought the advert made it seem like something else. I thought they were just going to be like a dysfunctional couple who lived on a caravan site, which would have been hilarious.
Yeah, but made it look like something you want to watch.
Yeah, but it did, actually. It did. I do not like this Japanese illustrator character in it.
Oh.
I think it's a little bit... I don't know. I don't think it's quite
Shun?
Right. Yeah.
Is it Shun?
But you know, he is himself.
I understand. I understand.
You're saying
he's
racist.
Japanese.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't. I'm just saying. I think hamming up. Like I don't know if that's his exact accent, but it did not feel comfortable to me.
But he's allowed to, isn't he? He's allowed to do what he likes as someone of that background, if he wants.
But there are other people of that background that might not think that he should be doing that. This is just because he is half Japanese, like...
Yeah.
I didn't...
No, I think you're wrong there. It's like if you know, if a Jewish people wants to make fun of Jewish culture, they can. It's not... I think he's totally within his rights. I have to strongly defend it too.
It didn't sit well with me. I didn't really like it.
Fine. Did you find it funny?
No, not at all. Not one bit. I did not laugh once.
Yeah, same. And I do like quirky stuff, but... As long as it's funny.
I thought the dream sequences were weird. I didn't find it funny. But I do think maybe if you're, you know, if you were, I don't know, in a bit of a quirky frame of mind, you would be like, oh, this is funny. But
or on drugs.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I was going to say, if you were like high, you'd probably think this is hilarious. But I just...
We're not promoting that, kids.
No, God, no. I mean, on life, high on life. If you had had a lot of sweeties, you would think this was hilarious. It's not funny, Boyd.
I don't think
the pogs are going to like it. That's what, and I must always think of the pogs.
Sorry, I'm facing both of you. What was your question, Kay?
Did it have you in stitches?
No, it didn't have me in stitches, no.
Did it have you in minor lols?
No.
Did you agree with us and think it was crap?
No. I don't think it's crap. I think I wasn't the biggest fan of the first series, I have to say. So I think I'm going to shock you here, yeah. I think it's one of those shows where it's got an incredible... a level of talent involved. So Coleman, Barrett.
Oh God, yeah, I loved you.
Rigby, Daniel Rigby as the incredibly annoying, obnoxious son, who is one of the most objectionable and irritating characters for a long time. Sophia DiMartino is the more interesting. I think Amy, who's not the new girlfriend, older woman played by Harriet Walter. Harriet Walter is an absolute legend. She plays her new girlfriend. She's the new character in this series, the major new character, and I thought she brought a lot of good stuff to it.
Did she?
Shun, the character you object to,
it's not that I object to it, it's just that it didn't sit well with me.
That's fine.
That is objecting to it.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
No, okay, he can be in it, but just not be in the way he is, yeah.
But it's fine. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's your honest
opinion, yeah.
I think a lot, but other people will have their reaction, I'm sure.
Okay.
It's definitely an interesting thing because it is a strong accented version of this Anglo-Japanese character.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Will Sharpe's been... But I think that character, he is one of the funniest elements of it. And in this new series, he's kind of drinking a lot. There's a whole... I watched the first two episodes. I think this might be in the second episode, where he has a big dinner with the publisher and he drinks too much and he's sick. And he is one of the funniest elements of it. What I'll say is, I enjoy it for all of those talented people being pretty good in it. I do think, for me, it tips over into quirkiness for quirkiness' sake. So my issue with the show is... I feel like it feels to me like an example where the writer creator has been given complete freedom to do what he wants to do, which on one level I love, but on another level what you end up with is something that I don't really care about.
It's kind of incomprehensible, the whole
I think if
thing.
You haven't, especially if you haven't seen the first series, it's deliberately disorienting and quirky. I keep using that word, but it is the word, and weird and surreal. So there are fantasy sequences, and I think this series, from what I hear, I've only seen the first two out of six, is going to go even more down that road. I think for me the problem with it is it isn't funny enough, and I think and it's trying to make, so you know, in the first series, you know, Morris, played by Julian Barrett, was suicidal, all right, so it's looking at issues of depression and all of that, and it's treating them in an interesting, you know, wry way, and I have no problem with any of that, but it's hard to make it funny. It's really hard, and I don't think it succeeds in making it funny. So I kind of enjoy it for what it is, and I'll carry on watching it. I'll watch all six episodes because I enjoy all these people performing very well, but I do think it's not quite as funny, and there's something about the quirkiness that feels slightly forced to me.
Do you think, my feeling about it as well is that I just think Olivia Colman is so incredible in everything, and just feels like she's not used to her strengths in this.
I think her character's interesting, yeah. It's quite difficult to get a hook on her character because she's essentially very decent and nice. So there's a scene again probably in episode two where this random guy who's been obsessed with her kind of just arrives in her house, right, to make a play for her while she's having a dinner with her family, and she kind of is irritated, and she does show irritation with him and says, why the hell are you here? But it takes her a long time to get to that point,
right,
where she says to him, you know, what are you doing here? I'm trying to have a family gathering. And you think that kind of works comedically, but I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe for a minute she would wait so long and not just tell him to get out and go and get never darken a door again. It's that thing where I don't believe any of this. I just don't believe them.
Yeah.
Because I feel that I feel like he's trying to create quirky, weird, surreal situations with all the characters are quirky, weird and surreal. And I don't quite buy that they're all behaving in this way with each other
all at the same time
in this context.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real to me. That's my
nothing okay. will bring me to and watch yet, another episode.
Okay.
I think we've established that.
Right.
And yet I will carry on watching it. So it's a 3-star for me.
It's a 2-star for me.
I'm going to agree with you again, Kay.
Woo!
2.
Flowers does start on Channel 4 on Monday, the 11th of June at 10 p.m. with a double bill. And then it carries on every night that week until Friday, the 15th of June at 10 o'clock. In the same way it did in the first series. Finally, in our single-worded meat shows, Goliath, also season 2, is back on Amazon Prime in full, 8 episodes, next Friday the 15th of June. Steph, you've got to tell us what this is about, because
and
it's your
I will.
Turn.
It's fine, and I will. Okay, on the Amazon Prime. Okay, so Goliath is about a lawyer played by Billy Bob Thornton, who helpfully is also called Billy. He's Billy McBride. He is, let's just say it, he's an alcoholic. He's got issues. He's got an ex-wife and a daughter, a lovely daughter. In the first series, which I didn't finish, I have to say, but I did watch.
I did start it.
And I don't know why I didn't finish. I think I just started watching something else. He takes on a huge tech company, and as you would suspect, lots and lots of money involved. It all gets, like, there's murders and God knows what else. But he does actually, I mean, it's worth watching that. I haven't watched it till the end, but he does. You get a catch up, and he won that case. So he's now got a ridiculous amount of money. He's got like £50 million payout from a wrongful death suit. So we join him again, and he's decided to give up law. He's not going to be a lawyer anymore. He's bought a nice house, but he's still living. Oh, because he's so kind of messed up. He lives in this lodge above a bar because he spends all of his time in this bar. So he's got this.
He's
weird
a professional
group,
bum.
Yeah, he's got this weird group of friendships with people in this bar. In this first episode, one of those friends, he's got all this money that he doesn't know what to do with. So as I said, he's bought this house for his daughter to live in. He's just trying to help people out, giving all this money away. He's got so much, he can't spend it all. So one of the people who works in the bar comes to him and tells him about the murder of two of his older sons. At the beginning of the episode, you see the DEA, which is the Drug Enforcement Agency, going into a house and shooting up a load of people and getting a load of money. Is this connected? We don't know yet. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you, frankly.
Well, I think it will be weird if it's not connected.
Try not to do spoilers, Boyd.
No, I like
right,
it.
Right, okay. So he says, can you help me? I just feel like I need to tell you about this. But also, he's had his younger son arrested for a murder. And he says, can you help me with this? And Billy Bob says, Billy McBride says, no, I can't. Some shit goes down. And he does eventually say he's going to help him.
He's drawn in.
He's drawn
just
in.
Just when you thought...
Just when you thought he was just going to drink himself to death, he's drawn in. That is my non-spoiler description.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah. Of Goliath.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I do believe this is a show you didn't watch series one.
Correct.
On the Amazon Prime. There was a good big catch-up, though, wasn't there?
There was a really big catch-up.
That is how catch-up should be done, frankly, where you're practically running the whole of the first series.
Yeah. Yeah, about the first 10 minutes of episode one is spent
catching
that.
Out.
Did you enjoy this show? Are we on a three strikes and we're out and we're going to have to cancel the podcast? Or did you like this show?
I mean, it's better than the other two things. I mean, it's on a par.
Wave of enthusiasm has swept through the studio.
My notes are Billy Bob, dubious, ratty looking. Right? Oh, do
I
you think?
I thought he looked great in this.
Oh, no, I hate his... I mean, this is just, it's about the character, not about, this is not a discerning thing about the
show. No, what you're saying is it's not about the character. Literally, you're judging him on his looks.
Oh, no, sorry, it is about the character. Yeah, sorry, it's not about him. Yeah, right, yeah. Right, just the character.
But he's essentially a really good man in this.
Yeah, no, he's a brilliant anti-hero. Yeah, he's a good rat. He's a good rat. He's Roland. so, yes. No, I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, it's not particularly doing anything new, I don't think. It's not groundbreaking in any way. But it's a perfectly sound... crime drama.
You know what? We have failed to move Kay at all.
We really have.
On this podcast. I mean,
I'm not sure we've got more than a sentence out of any of these
things. But you know, like for, as anti-heroes go, I prefer watching Bosch.
Oh, listen. Bosch is so, like, Bosch is different league to this.
Yeah, there's such depth.
It is quite
to him.
Similar, isn't it? I was going to say.
Yeah, it is similar, but Bosch is better.
Bosch is an Amazon Prime show, isn't it?
Bosch is an Amazon Prime. However, can I just say, I did spend the whole time watching this first episode going, why didn't I watch the rest of this? Because I really enjoyed it, and I love things like that. Listen, Bosch is like a 10-star out of 5, but like you know, Titus Welliver, I love him. I thought this was really good, though. I really liked it, and I actually found Billy Bob Thornton incredibly compelling in this role, and it's a role he seems comfortable in, and it suits him.
Yeah.
And I think he's quite sexy in this.
What?
Oh.
Rat boy.
No, I think he's
rat
man.
He's gone a bit far there.
Do you have a thing for rodents?
Yeah, I do. And I think he's great in it.
He is really good in it. Yeah, it feels like a kind of huge, big vehicle for him to show how kind of subtle.
He deserves that vehicle.
And he does deserve a vehicle. And we should say it's created by David E. Kelly of Ally McBeal fame and many other law-based...
Michelle Pfeiffer's husband.
Classic creator of law-based TV shows. And this is, I think it's his first streaming show that he's created. So it feels more, you know, it's got all the swearing and ultra-violence and stuff that you expect in a streaming show that doesn't have to conform to network American TV rules. And that's what I like about it. I think... Because he's a brilliant TV talent, David E. Kelly. He's worked on so many great shows. So it is really good to see them doing this thing. I thought it was interesting how quite steady and slow the build-up was. So there's a big dramatic opening sequence where, the drug enforcement people kill loads of people in this house. But from then on, it eases you into his character, doesn't it? And I thought it was quite bold how... Not a huge amount happens. It's quite slow the way they introduce the new characters and introduce the new thing that is going to get him to investigate.
But you know, I'm really pleased about that because actually what would be really annoying is if that one thing happened and he just went, okay, I'm just going to forget that I said I was not going to be a lawyer anymore because one of my friends is in trouble and I'm just going to go straight back. Yeah. So you need him to
slowly come around to it. And I'm particularly excited because Mark Duplass of the Duplass Brothers, who are brilliant kind of writer, director, people and actors, he is the main exciting new character. He plays a property developer in LA who's clearly got all the connections with there's a mayoral race camp happening. Mm-hmm. So there's politics and there's big business. And it reminded me of Chinatown. That's, I think, is probably one of the big bases for it because Chinatown's all about corruption in 70s LA, the classic Jack Nicholson film. And it's got
actually thought you meant Chinatown in Leicester Square. And I was like, God, is that
no,
going on?
No, he means the film.
I was like, there at the weekend. What's that?
It reminded me of a visit to Chinatown in Soho. No, the classic, all-time classic Los Angeles crime noir. Mm. Even though, of course, the great thing about Chinatown is it's uses all the film noir things, but it's bright.
Yeah.
Brightly lit because it uses that LA. And this, similarly, is very...
Can confirm actual
that.
Chinatown is also like that because they've got Chinese lanterns up at the moment.
I'm not mentioning Chinatown again. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to carry on watching it. Are you going to carry on watching it?
I am
it?
Actually. Steph, unlike... do you know what I'm going to do? I am actually going to go back and watch, even though what's annoying is now I've got a load of the spoilers, so I know what happens, but I do think I'll enjoy watching the first season. Yeah. I am going to watch this. It is up my street.
Maybe I'll go back and watch the first season.
I don't believe you will.
I don't think I will either. You're pretty watching Love
It's very lukewarm for me this week.
Very luke.
Yeah.
Very,
I mean, I'm just like.
Are
go...
you saying that Boyd's made bad choices in what he's got us to watch?
Listen.
Because that's what it sounds like.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Steph.
Can I just say, if you saw a list of what's on this week, on this, you would know.
You're saying this week is a TV dud?
It's a bit of a dud. It is a dud week for me.
No, I'm saying...
Oh, gosh, dramatic pause.
I thought you were dead then.
Yeah.
I'm not dead. I can confirm. I'm very much alive. They're, these were the obvious choices, is what I'm saying, in this TV week.
Fine.
Just making that clear. Oh. And then maybe weeks ahead, by the way, because the World Cup's coming up. You know, there's not going to be... It's the summer.
Are we going to start giving the games scores? Like, yes. I know they have scores themselves.
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll be able to watch them in advance.
Oh, God.
Is all right. How about this, then? If we can't watch any other good TV, that you have to review Love in the Countryside...
I mean, that finishes soon, Kay. But
yeah, but it's on iPlayer, boy. It never dies.
Okay. Anyway, before we just send into anarchy, how many stars are we giving Goliath K?
A solid 3.
Oh, I'm giving it 4.
Oh, it's a 4K.
Yeah, it's a 4K.
It's a 4K.
UHD. Goliath, season 2. Well, season 1's on Amazon Prime right now, if you do want to catch up. And season 2 arrives in full next Friday, the 15th of June, on the Prime. Finally, in honour of the brilliantly popular and successful and highly acclaimed Flowers, it's time for that bit of the podcast.
Sorry,
by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's time for that bit of the podcast.
I nearly swept over you doing the jingle.
I know.
What time is it?
It's question time.
As I've already said, in honour of the award-winning, highly acclaimed Flowers, what is your favourite flower-based film or TV thing?
You have to say who you wanted to answer it first.
Steph,
as
I'm
is the format.
You. Steph, I feel you're
right.
Champing at the bit.
Okay. I am going to talk about Flowers in the Attic.
Oh.
VC Andrews book, right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. But I'm talking about the film. So I did read these books. This is... sounds terrible, but is incredibly compelling. And there's a whole series of them. Like Petals to the Wind, and it like goes on like that, doesn't it? It's about two children who get locked in an attic by their nasty mother, and they do the deed and they have some kid. It's incest, okay? It's incest.
Oh
yeah.
Gosh.
It's not flowery at all. Yeah. It's really, really...
Kay's in shock.
I know.
You've gone there. You've
but when I was younger, these books were real scandal. Mm. Like, it was like, oh my God, if you...
I mean, to be fair, I think it's pretty scandalous now.
I know, you don't want brothers and sisters to be having kids. But, like, this is really, like, it's still quite shocking. But they made a film, there's a film series as well, and there was a recent one with Heather Graham.
Yes.
Boy, do you remember?
Yes, I do. Going on Channel 5.
Yeah. Flowers in the Attic, Petals to the Wind. I can't remember what the other ones are called. I'll look it up. But, yeah, that is my favourite flowery incest story.
Well, it's good to know. Both flowers. Yours doesn't have to involve incest, okay? Just saying that now.
It was preferable, but if it doesn't,
but it's not
it's
fair
fine.
She gets to talk about it first.
Listen, if you've got a flowery incest thing, go forth.
No. I just wanted to tell everyone that my favourite flowers are freesias. Okay?
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And I like yellow ones and white ones. I'm not really into the mix of colour ones.
Right.
But they smell delightful and I rarely get bought them. So, hashtag just saying.
Oh, cute. Truckload of freezers.
Look up the heat address, guys.
Okay.
No. Right. So the other thing is Darling Buds of May.
Oh,
a classic.
Great show.
Catherine Zeta-Jones when she was young.
When she was Welsh
and young. Yeah. David Jason, Pam Ferris. Brilliant. Love it. Can I see it anywhere at the moment?
Right, does that well, theme tune go?
Yeah, that one.
You haven't given me time to check where on which platform.
I'm sure it must be gold.
I think it's UK gold.
Yeah, I think it's gold.
UK. Oh, she wore that yellow dress. Oh, it's fantastic.
She looked beautiful. I recently discovered that You Rang My Lord is on UK gold, and I'm very excited about that. I've just got to say.
Do you know which episode I really loved of The Darling Buds Are Made? Do you remember when they figured out how to freeze dry strawberries and they thought that was going to be the new business?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, it was a simpler time. It really was.
Oh, it's like Love in the Countryside all over again.
Good answers. Yeah.
Boy D, incest? Picking,
no, 1946, classic film noir, The Blue Dahlia.
Oh.
Alan Ladd, Veronica Lake, legends of cinema. It was written, the script, get this, was written by Raymond Chandler.
No.
Yes.
Of Philip Marlowe fame, of the Maltese Falcon, etc.
Oh
fame.
Gosh.
It's one of the all-time classic films noir.
Is it in any way related to The Black Dahlia?
Well, funnily enough, in a kind of way it is, yeah, because The Black Dahlia, which is also another film I really love, which is kind of a terrible film.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Great murder story, though.
Brian De Palma.
You don't like that film? It's
well,
a great
no,
film.
I'm saying it's kind of terrible in some ways. It's deeply flawed, but I do really enjoy it. It's got some brilliantly over-the-top nonsense in it because it's Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
But that the novel that was based on, The Black Dahlia, definitely is kind of partly inspired by The Blue Dahlia. Yeah. So The Blue Dahlia is a nightclub on Sunset Strip in the Blue Dahlia film.
Is it Dahlia or Dahlia?
Well, I think it's Dahlia in America and Dahlia here.
It's
okay.
Dahlia here.
Sorry, yeah. That's why I started going into Dahlia from Dahlia.
Right. But
Blue, gotcha. I think the Americans call it
Dahlia.
Dahlia
Smith.
But I studied film noir when I was a student at university, and our teacher used to call it Dahlia, which is partly why I'm pronouncing it like
okay,
that.
Okay, fine.
I just got to say, I was joking about Dahlia Smith. Sorry.
No, I'm aware you're joking. Mm. That's fine, yeah.
Just realised people might actually think I thought it was Dahlia. Carry on.
That's fine. Blue Dahlia, it's brilliant. Find it, seek it out, you'll love it. And even Black Dahlia, yeah. Because that is also a highly entertaining crime.
It's great.
Modern
That's
update.
That's my favourite of Scarlett Johansson's roles ever.
Wow.
Yeah, really? I know. I really loved her in that. I thought she was fantastic.
Incredible.
Mm, just saying.
That concludes what has been another frankly extraordinary.
Mediocre TV, not
wow.
us.
Wow. Boyd hasn't once. Actually, you did mention Sherlock. Yeah, so that is a plus, okay? Or Doctor Who.
I can't believe Kay's just called the podcast mediocre.
Not the podcast, the shows we've reviewed.
Do you know what, boy? Do you know what we should do now? Let's give Kay a rating out of 5 for her attendance and in this podcast.
Well, attendance 5 has to be.
Once we start judging ourselves.
No, I'm giving
that
her...
That way madness
hold on a minute. No, Boyd.
Self-indulgence
Boyd, I'm giving her a 3.5, which is a recommendation.
I'll take that, to
be
fair.
Full endorsement. Boyd, you can have a 4.
Thanks.
I'm, of course, giving myself 5.
Amazing.
Insight into the madness.
On that extraordinary climactic revelation, all we can say is it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.